Welcome to the Nurturing Potential England Hockey Talent Team podcast. Here's what we've got coming up today.
It's important language to differentiate between a pathway, which suggests a route, versus a system to suggest actually we're all working together to support the needs of the young person. And of course, you know, we've got to do a lot more around that. It's a journey, and there's definitely a cultural shift and a behavioural shift about how we look at talent development and the development of young people as part of that.
Hello and welcome to England Hockey's Talent Team podcast. Today, I am joined as host by Brett Holland. I am Gary Johnson, Talent Foundation's manager for England Hockey. Brett?
Hi, yeah, I'm Brett Holland. I'm the lead talent development coach and I have a coaching role within England Age Group with the under 18 girls.
Brilliant. And we are joined today by Sean Kitson. Sean, do you want to introduce yourself?
Morning, Gary. Morning, Brett. Sean Kitson, talent partnership manager within obviously the England Hockey Talent Team. That's the title.
Brilliant. Thank you for joining us this morning. let's get straight into it. We're going to look at the talent system. And what are the ultimate aims of the England Hockey Talent System?
Yeah, so obviously there's been a shift over the last few years from the kind of single pathway to the talent system. Some of the big aims, really trying to widen the breadth and the depth of the talent pool that comes through the talent system, trying to really consider that there's multiple routes to how players can develop. So previously there was a linear pathway through junior county hockey into performance centres and then various activities before a player might end up at England Age Group, for example, whereas now we're trying to consider and open up lots of different routes, multiple routes for development. We can obviously see lots of different players from different backgrounds progress and enjoy experiences within talent system environments. That, I suppose, leads on to this idea of putting the player at the centre. Really important to us that what are the needs and wants of individuals and how do we ensure that there's multiple environments to support those multiple needs is really important to us. And we felt that the previous system perhaps didn't afford as much opportunity around that for environments to really get to understand the person as well as the player. And I guess there's also a recognition that young people develop at different rates. They are all on their own unique development journey. And therefore, it's really important we recognise that there's going to be needs for different environments to support young people at different times. And we talk a lot about right athlete, right environment, and the RARE principles, and recognising that young people can have a blend of those environments. And again, a system kind of speaks to that opportunity, perhaps a little bit more than, say, a singular pathway. And then, of course, other reasons why we're doing it. We want to continue to raise the standards of hockey, the coaching, the quality and the contact time, the frequency of that contact time. And there's obviously some really good stuff going on out there, but we want to make sure that that's occurring in as many parts of the country as possible. And I did touch on it, by opening up the system, we really hope that we can start to see a greater diversity, different range of backgrounds of young people entering, progressing through the talent system.
Cool. lots of different pieces of information there. And I'm sure people will be really intrigued about what we really mean by some of that and actually how do we sort of bring some of that to life. But before we move into that, Brett, have you got anything you want to add in? Ask?
No, and we'll come on to probably the multiple routes a little bit later on, but it's quite a big shift, isn't it, from where we were before? And I think the big thing to really highlight is that openness that we're looking for. So how do we allow everyone to enjoy, as you said earlier, Sean, enjoy the talent system, the talent development environments that we're putting on without making it you must do something or you must do something else, because actually it's the player that's most important at heart and what's right for them, I think, is the really key message. You were going through that.
Yeah, no, look, I think, you know, It really requires a collaborative approach across the talent system. It really needs us to recognise the person first and foremost. and really understand where they are on their journey. What are their aspirations? Why are they involved in the game? Why are they coming to your environment? What is it about your environment that's perhaps distinct to other environments? So we, again, you know, we talk a lot about how do we stretch those young players, those young people, but also ensuring that socially that they're supported as well, you know, whether that's playing within their own age groups, that might be an important part of the blend. So I think that's really key, is in a collaborative approach, but recognizing what part of that blend you play at a given time for a young person, and that might change over time. I think we don't always need to be all things to all people, but recognizing our strengths as coaches or our strengths within the environment that we have a responsibility for, but how they contribute to other environments that might offer something a little bit different. And that's great. And that's where that kind of partnership approach is really critical to an effective talent system.
Thank you very much. You've highlighted there some real strategic objectives from England Hockey, and you've touched on multiple things that make up the strategic objectives, which are the six pillars within the talent system. Just so people get a real greater understanding of this objective and the six pillars, can you just go into them a little bit for us, please, to A, probably just highlight each of the pillars, and then B, sort of let's try and bring one or two of those to life as well.
Yeah, so I mean, like, we talk about putting the player at the center. I think that's probably really key in terms of trying to consider and starting and ending with all decision making around that young player from their perspective, not the perspective of, say, parents or coaches or the wider program or environment that they may be a part of. Now, that's important. Those things need to contribute to that. But it's really trying to get a greater understanding of the needs and the wants of that young person. What is their motivation? Where are their aspirations and ambitions in relation to the game? How does it relate to their school, for example? Are they from an academic point of view? What does it relate to? Perhaps they're a dual sport athlete. So how does it relate to other activities that they may be experiencing? And of course, you know, from a social point of view, as they grow up, and particularly through those teenager years, there's going to be lots of other opportunities and things that we have to consider in that young person. The sort of talent develops at different rates is a little bit linked to kind of how we understand potential and how we identify those young people in front of us. So every young person within the talent system will have its own unique journey, and equally, therefore, how they then develop will be in relation to those experiences and what they've been exposed to. So some players will have a very high training age. They might have played hockey since they were 5, 6 years old. Others might have picked it up only when they got to secondary school. Some will have a very strong, perhaps, club background. Others might be more school and, say, junior county hockey. So it's really trying to understand what's behind the young person, what's their background. Then, of course, from kind of like a physical, social, psychological point of view, what's their maturation being like? How are they influenced by their peers around them? How are they influenced by the coaching environment? How well engaged are they? What's their attitude to learning? So those are really important pillars for us to try and support the game, support coaches, support programs, help players and parents understand that the consequences of their journey are in relation to their stage of development, and hopefully by recognizing that, we can support more to progress and more to go through. I've only touched on a couple there, Gary. I can go into a few others if you want.
No, I think that's really useful. So let's just summarize. Really, pillar number one is players at the center, which you've talked about in great depth there. Pillar number two will be, you know, we're aware that talent develops at different rates, in different ways, and in different places. Pillar number three would be greater diversity throughout the talent system. That's what we're looking for. Pillar number four would be great coaching at the core. Five would be looking at those exceptional hockey basics or the hockey fundamentals. And then pillar number six would be the healthy talent development, culture. So they're the six pillars that are the key strategic objectives. And you've gone great into great detail there about pillar number one, the core, and two, the talent develops at different rates. So thank you very much for sort of clarifying and getting really stuck into a couple of those. And I think it's really important that listeners and other people really understand that they are there to support them. And it's also here for us to be able to work with them. As you've said throughout, partnerships are really key towards this as well.
Yeah, and I just add in there, Gary, you know, we've got plans, as you know, to really explore great coaching and exceptional hockey basics with some other guests as well. That let's not forget the hockey. That's fundamental. That's really important about how we serve up high quality environments, how we serve up quality player engagement and coach behaviours, and what does the practice look like that helps them to thrive. So again, by situating, and I think this is important to say, more talent development within club environments and settings, where we believe that we can then start to support a greater number of coaches, administrators, program developers around the game. That, of course, doesn't ignore the fact that there's a junior county hockey program and schools provision that equally we need to support and help as well. But given that young players are spending the majority of their time within club settings, that's why it's a priority for England hockey moving forwards.
Brilliant. And I guess something we'll explore in further podcasts will be around what does talent development coaching look like? Where is it different from maybe your more traditional training the week, play at the weekend? And actually, as us as coaches, what are the skill sets that we need to develop that's going to enhance and develop the potential within players to be more talented and become talented? There'll be some definitions that we probably need to define as we go through, as our words need to define as we go through as well. But I'm keen to jump into the multiple routes, multiple entry points, multiple exit points, and really bring that to life, because that's probably one thing that is reasonably different and reasonably new in the talent system compared to where we've been before. Obviously, the single system was, as it says on the tin, the single system, whereas now we've kind of moved away from that. So could you bring that to life for us, Sean, and give us some real life examples of it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, look, the single system had some clear benefits around the way in which it was functioning, certainly from a clarity of what happens to young people. That was obviously clear, but that wasn't necessarily the right thing at the right time for those young people. And therefore, the majority of people were essentially sort of funneled down that one route, whether that was right for them, whether it was the right time for them. And I guess what we're trying to do is strip that back. And it's important language to differentiate between a pathway, which suggests a route, versus a system, to suggest actually we're all working together to support the needs of the young person. And of course, you know, we've got to do a lot more around that. It's a journey, and there's definitely a cultural shift and a behavioural shift about how we look at talent development and the development of young people as part of that. So in terms of kind of on the ground now, what we've done is kind of say, look, whether you want to go through school, club, or junior county hockey, or a mix of that, that's great. That in terms of, you're going to get lots of different opportunities. They're going to provide different experiences and a different exposure. But in terms of then sort of progressing into, say, Talent Academy as one of our kind of newest environments, that can occur from any of those environments. So you might go and access junior county hockey and benefit from representative hockey. You might just focus on club and school hockey. You might not have access to school hockey, and club might be your route. And it's just appreciating that the context of young people will be quite different from through geography or locality or the background, the landscape of hockey in those areas, that there's still routes through. Equally, when we start looking at England age group, there is an open route through school, club, or junior county hockey, or indeed through the Talent Academy program as well. So I think we're just trying to recognize that one size does not fit all, and we're trying to create a system where there's multiple environments to support those young people, and therefore the journeys are multiple as well. And that would include, you know, there's some fantastic stuff, whether that's between junior and senior environments of, say, one club, or a player accessing junior hockey in one environment and senior hockey in another, because they've actually recognised how they can both contribute to the development of that young person. And junior club offers X, it might be stuff around playing with their own age group, and senior hockey offers Y, which might be around stretching them in terms of considering their future progression. And I think that's what's really exciting. There's obviously clear steps that we still need to take and support environments to understand, where do we fit in this journey? Because we were quite clear on where we fit, and now we're a little bit unsure. And I think that's the next phase over the next 18, 24 months, is working with those environments to see and to support them to understand, okay, what does that distinctive environment look like for them, and where on those different journeys do they position themselves effectively?
So really, I just want to pull something out and then probably ask another question around the multiple entries and exit points, but just go back to something you said around the benefit of being in different environments. We often think, right, you're a high potential player, let's just throw you up, let's make it hard, let's really give you loads and loads of stretch, and you'll play an age group up and this high senior team. And there's obviously lots of benefits to that. But there's also benefits to being what we would call in our talent system framework, like leadership hockey, and actually have an opportunity to really thrive and really like express yourself and do some of the maybe your super strengths that you've got as a player, but you can't exhibit them quite so much when you're playing in a National League first team at a really young age, or playing up an age group and that kind of stuff. And I just want to, yeah, just really highlight the fact you made around that multiple environments can be really, really effective on a talent development journey.
Yeah, and it's really important. Going back to the person at the centre, we understand the person first and foremost. How does that fit for them? You know, socio-psychologically as an example, or physical, because there'll be physical stretch points in each of those different environments. And as a result of that, we can start to consider and help them with that relevant blend of those different environments. I think that's really important. And yeah, that takes time, because it requires that collaborative nature. It requires that partnership approach. And then I think when we talk about development of the player and development of the performer, you'll start to see them thrive or be in that thrive space a lot more as a result of that. Now, the flip side of it is, when we talk about player management and a partnership approach, that takes time. You have to nurture that. You have to want to, and have to have a willing to go on that journey with those young people, because you want to put their best interests first. And we recognize in a largely voluntary sport that that's going to require a little bit more effort and energy at times. So looking at how we can be more efficient around that is definitely something to help the wider talent system moving forwards.
And just to bring a little example to life there, so yeah, I work in the England age group space in that under 18 girls and league coach position, and we have conversation with both the under 16s and under 21s, which programs like sandwich us around, okay, this player's going really well here, let's bring her in this environment for this camp and see if we can stress this part of it and give her a chance to do that, and then she'll go into that environment and do here, and then I might be stretched over there. And just even that conversation between an England age group program can take time. We're now trying to embed that within multiple stakeholders, multiple environments, multiple different systems that are all interacting together, and it is really tough. Just I want to push you again, Sean, on multiple entry and exit routes. Again, this again is pretty different, but I think still plays to that point around what's right for this person at this moment in time. Could you just give us some examples of what that looks like?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of examples. So I'll give you a sort of talent academy, an England age group example. So what we've done, so previously, coaches and nominators of players into the single pathway would have had, you know, particular windows, like a month, a year, where all players would be put forward at once, and they would go through to various stages, and those numbers would slowly, I suppose, reduce for those that would progress into the prospective selected environments. What we've tried to do, say from a talent academy point of view, is now it's a 6-month window. So from November the 1st, right the way around to the following May the 1st, coaches from schools, clubs, or junior county hockey can nominate potential players in the right age band to be put forward for an open assessment. And those open assessments will be run by talent academies, but they won't just run one or two. There's multiple opportunities throughout the year. So for example, talent academy is for school years year 10 to 13. So the preceding year to that, they will be year nine. Now, a year nine, say, and they'll be under 14, say in September, could look very different come April. So there could be a whole load of physical maturation, social maturation. For example, they might be exposed to a little bit of senior hockey, potentially, depending on age and appropriateness of that. Therefore, their developmental growth and their potential growth in that space is quite significant. So to have those multiple entry points is really, really important. And I guess we've taken some of that and we started to consider that a little bit around the England age group as well, in terms of, okay, it's not just the summer route through the open age groups, through the Talent Academy process. There's a couple of different touch points now in terms of seeing and really observing and spending more time with potential TA Talent Academy players that may make the transition into England age group as well. And I think it's important then that, so that's on the entry side of it. And again, we would really try and encourage other environments to consider what does that look like from a club perspective? You know, that could be dipping in and out of different age groups, as you mentioned earlier, or different teams from a senior perspective. That same approach should definitely be something worth considering for coaches around that. But then you've got sort of the exit routes as well. Look, it's important that we recognise that different things will impact young people at different times on their journey. And we have to appreciate that they might need to step away from certain environments for moments, whether that's to do with, say, academic reasons, whether that's to do with dual sport reasons, whether that's to do with overloading. So we've obviously shared some resources around overloading, but that doesn't mean that's it. So again, if you use Talent Academy as the example, someone might come in, they might spend a year or two in that space. And do you know what? For a short period of time, it might not be right for them, you know, whether that's a cycle or a season, and then they might come back in, or it might be best that they go and start to be exposed to other environments, whether that be senior hockey or whatever. So yeah, trying to really start to talk about a slightly more fluid or not necessarily a revolving door in terms of in, out, but just recognizing that, yes, what's right for this young person and being really clear around the feedback, the expectations, where they are in that developmental journey, and then marrying up to the different opportunities for them.
Yeah, great. And I guess it also we can stress the point around the Talent Academy might not be for everyone. I know you've kind of talked that already, Sean, but it might be you're getting what you think you need elsewhere. So we're not saying this Talent Academy is the place to be. We're hoping that it is exceptional. And if players are in there, they are getting what they need. And this is real quality hockey on a real frequent basis. But they might, for example, they might have a school that's got a really robust program and they might be playing really high level senior hockey. And actually that's enough. And if we then start going, right, you must come to Talent Academy, it's just going to overload, explode, and then they drop out of hockey. So actually, what is the environment that you need right now to still try and push towards and fulfill your ambitions within hockey too? Sean, going to put you on the spot now. What are your three takeaways from the conversation we've just had so far that you want to leave the hockey community with?
Yeah, I guess, you know, put the player at the centre. So that would be sort of message one with your conversations. And that can be a challenge, can't it? Because, you know, a club coach might be thinking here, well, we've got 300 juniors or 500 juniors. But I think it's really important as a club at different times and really thinking about, okay, what are the needs of different groups of individuals within that? And within that, kind of start to look at those, what we call the four Ps. So, yeah, who is the person in front of us? How do we, even on a very small level, just really start to understand what their background is, who they are, what their motivations are? Where are they as a player? Where's that development journey? Where are they now? Where would they like to get to? What do we think will help them? What environments will help them? And then I suppose the performance bit will come, and we'll talk to a few other guests around that. But the partnership P, like, okay, what's my role and responsibility in this, and who should I be partnering with to support the best interests of that young person? And just recognizing, you know, like we said, that they're on a unique journey. So we can get quite excited about, you know, the current performance of young people, but let's not forget kind of the longer term potential. Where is that potential, and how do we support them? So Yeah, the partnership approach with others, putting the player at the center and just recognizing that they're unique and they're going on their own journey, and our job is to simply facilitate that.
Sean, thank you very much for joining myself and Brett today. Listeners, thank you very much for joining us on the Nurturing Potential England Hockey Talent Team podcast. We hope to have you back with us again very, very soon. Thank you.